If you will turn over to Exodus, chapter 14. I titled my message this morning, Trust God, Move Forward. That is also the theme of our Congress coming up here in a few weeks. We got one of our friends and supporters a while back sent a little card, like a business card. He obtained it somewhere. I'm not sure where he got it from. And it was pretty. It just said, trust God, move forward. And Miriam really liked that. And she has it on the dashboard of our car. And when I was thinking about a theme for Congress, that came to my mind. And I titled this message today the same way. Trust God, move forward. Exodus, the chapter 14. We're going to read verses 13 through 16. And this is when Israel's coming out of the land of Egypt. And they're being chased by Pharaoh's army. They come to the Red Sea. Pharaoh probably thought, okay, we got them now. There's no escape. And Moses standing there with Israel. And Moses says unto the people, fear ye not. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them no more again forever. Verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and he shall hold your peace. It's interesting, the reply that came from God. Because verse 15 says, the Lord said unto Moses, why are you crying out to me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they move forward. Moses just got done telling him, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. And God says, tell the children of Israel to move forward. They were at the Red Sea. Moving forward meant they had to step into the waters. We're going to talk about trusting God today. And you ever see those Geico commercials? It has that. I don't know if he's an advertising agent for Geico in the commercial. And he tells the little lizard. He said, trust is important here, Geico. He said, I'm going to have to run a little test and demonstrate how important it is. And then it shows him standing up. And he starts falling backward. And the little lizard said, oh, dear. I guess I'll feel the same way if a big old thing like that come down. We don't know what happened, though. The commercial goes often. But we're supposed to assume that the little lizard either got squashed, but we're supposed to assume he caught the guy. And we're told in the Bible to trust in God. And it's something that has to be developed. It just doesn't come with the snapping of a finger. Ecclesiastes 12, chapter 1 says, remember now your Creator in the days of your youth before difficult times come. And then the whole rest of the chapter talks about all the difficult times that are going to come on your life. Basically, you're going to get old. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Difficult times are going to come. Mark 10, 13 through 16, talks about little children, youth. Mark 10, verse 13, and they brought young children to him, that's Jesus Christ. They brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And said unto them, referring to the disciples, suffer the little children to come unto me. And forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Jesus is talking about not being a baby, but he's talking about the trust that a child has. We're going to talk about that in a second. King David talks about trust. It's a very familiar passage in Psalms chapter 3. You're all familiar with it. Verse 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord and with all thy heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The guy falls backward, and the Geico is going to catch him. And so it takes a lot of faith, not just for the Geico to catch him, but a lot of faith for the guy, thinking that the lizard is going to catch him. Mothers and fathers experience the same thing, don't we? I know we've all experienced it. Anybody who has children or been around children know that a child has total and complete trust. A child will jump off of a table just knowing dad is going to catch him. I've seen Caleb stand on the couch and just fall knowing you're going to catch him. Total and complete trust. My father told a story several times when I was younger. I'm assuming it's probably true. Maybe it was a punchline. I don't know. But it seems to me it was a true story. He sold insurance. I've mentioned that in the past. Years ago, and he had like a debit route, went around to people's homes in those days, collected the insurance premium. And he went to this one house, and the father had a son on the porch. And he tells his son, jump, jump, I'll catch you, jump, I'll catch you. And the little boy jumped, and the father stepped back, and the little boy fell to the ground. And the father said, let that be a lesson to you, never trust anybody. I don't know if it's a true story, but it's sad. And yet there is an element of truth to it. Because the only one we can completely trust is the Lord. Paul tells us in Hebrews 6 that we can have full and complete and total trust in the Lord because he doesn't lie and he doesn't change. He's the constant in the universe. Psalms 18:2 says, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. He's the one we can trust. Little children trust their dads, they trust their moms. And Jesus Christ is telling us in that parable, I guess it wasn't a parable, it's the event that happened, of the children who have this trust. They said, this is the kind of trust you have to have. You have to have total and complete trust in me. Just like a child, total and complete. In everything that you do, just not just on a personal level, but even on a national level, you've got to trust in the Lord. He tells us there that you have to be like the little child. A little child, like I said, you throw... Not that I advise people do this, and it actually upsets me a little bit when I see it happen, but they'll throw a child up way up in the air and then catch it. And 99.9% of the time, of course, they do catch it, but I'm always afraid, what would happen if just at that moment somebody bumped into you and you missed it, and he fell on his head? So, I don't know. But the point is, the child laughs because he knows daddy's going to catch him on the way down. They know that they have this trust in you. They trust you to love them. They trust you to care for them. Their whole existence is based on this trust. Their whole existence. They have full and complete and total trust. Jesus says, be like that child. Total and complete trust. I suppose this is why it angers us so often. When we see somebody abuse that trust of a child and hurt a child. As I understand, even in prisons, hardcore prisoners have no use for someone who mistreats a child. Christ said, "But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone was hanged around his neck, that he would be drowned." But having that kind of trust, that trust of a child, is not an easy thing to do. It doesn't happen overnight. Ecclesiastes says, as I mentioned a moment ago, "Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before difficult times come." Because difficult times are going to come. They're going to come on all of us. And God telling us, especially young people, develop your trust early in life. You're going to need it. Statler Brothers, 1972, we had a song called "The Class of 57. You familiar with that song? Tommy's selling used cars, Nancy's fixing hair, Harvey runs a grocery store, and Margaret doesn't care. The class of 57 had its dreams, but living life from day to day is never like it seems. Things get complicated when you get past 18, but the class of 57 had its dreams. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth." That's the time to develop that trust and begin developing it. Because being a Christian in a non-Christian world is not an easy thing. Now, I know in America, 83% of the people claim to be Christians. Do you think they are? Do you think 83% of the people that you come in contact with are Christians? According to surveys, 83% are. If that's the case, then of course America would be overflowing with blessings, but is it? It's not. They don't really understand Christ. They don't understand this book. They don't understand the covenants and the purpose of God. The world doesn't know Jesus. The world doesn't care to know Jesus. This negative impact that we're surrounded in, because even though 83% of the people say are Christians, the fact that we know that when we go out into the world, we're constantly bombarded with all kinds of negative influences. Many times from people who claim to be Christians. Negative influences. We can't avoid it. It's there. And we are, in a sense, swimming in a sewer. And if we're not careful, we lose focus. That's why it's important to put that trust in the Lord. Because if we're not careful, we lose focus. And so as Christians, we have to attempt to build that faith to strengthen ourselves. We often say, you've heard people say, "Well, there's nothing left to do now but pray." Why is it that prayer is always the last thing we do? Why is it the first thing we do? But you've heard people say that. It's almost like giving up. It's like saying, "Well, I guess we can pray, but what good is that going to do?" In Philippians 4, verse 6 says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present requests to God." The New Century Translation says, "Do not worry about anything, but pray and ask God for everything you need, always giving thanks. Do not worry about it." Now, I had a friend years ago. She told me one day, she said, "I couldn't sleep at all last night." And I said, "Why not?" She said, "Oh, I stayed up all night long just worrying. So I was just worried all night long. I just couldn't sleep." I said, "Really?" I said, "What were you worried about?" "Well," she said, "that's a problem." She said, "I can't remember." She said, "I knew there was something I was supposed to worry about, and I couldn't remember what it was, so I was worried trying to remember what I was supposed to worry about." That's pretty bad, isn't it? She couldn't remember what she was supposed to worry about, so she worried trying to remember what it was she was supposed to worry about. He said, don't worry about anything. Have complete trust. Now, I don't have a magic 10-step program to live a worry-free life. It comes with being who we are. But I want to give a personal example. You all know a number of years ago, I was sitting at home having my dinner, and all of a sudden, his car pulled up from a driveway, and he handed me a lawsuit from a newspaper in North Carolina. And they were suing us for, I forget what it was, not exactly, suing us for stealing advertising or using a newspaper to distribute literature, whatever it was. It was really pretty bogus. But their lawyer was able to wiggle through all the, Seth Cohen, was able to wiggle through all the legal maneuverings, and he got it to stick. And it looked like we were going to face a huge, over something so silly, a huge financial verdict. You all know part of that story, most of it. It looked like we're going to lose as it come before a black judge who totally disregarded any provisions, any arguments from our attorney, totally disregarded them and found us guilty and now facing a financial judgment. How much was it going to be? We didn't have any idea. It could have been $500,000, could have been $1 million. Who knows what on these things? Whatever the judge should decide. And with that, it looked like we were within maybe months of losing our property here. My home, our church, everything. By this decision, by this court. And I was frantic, to be quite honest. You all know that. I was worried. And I thought that everything we had, we were going to lose. Or something so silly. Oh, we thought we probably could have won it on an appeal, but we had no money for appeals. And I couldn't rest. And I was worried. You know, Satan is not trying to take away your possessions. I begin to realize this. It isn't the possessions that Satan tries to take away. It isn't your things that he's after. He's trying to get to you. Things are just there to cause you to become discouraged and lose focus and lose faith. He's trying to get to your faith. And I was worried about the things. And Muriel and my family knows how concerned I was. It wasn't until it came in my own heart, I realized that, so what? Take everything I've got, you're not going to break me. When I realized that it wasn't, these things are not important, it was me there. That was the target I felt of this. And I wasn't going to be broken. And when I came to that decision, when I came to realize that take everything I've got, take my home, take the property, take everything I have, you'll never break me. That's when I stopped worrying. Because that's where I recognized it was not the things that Satan comes after, it's after you. We have a hard time trusting God. It doesn't come easily. We want to solve our own problems. After we make a mess of things, then we find, oh, guess there's nothing left to do but to pray. We want to solve our own problems. It's our nature. Some people, it's more their nature than others, I suppose, depending on what their personality characteristics are. But we are the ones that created our problems in the first place. It's like asking the government to solve our problems. asking the government to solve our national problems. I like asking Congress to solve our economic problems. They created the problem. They're not going to be able to solve it for us. Isaiah 41:13 says, I am the Lord your God who holds your right hand. And I tell you, don't be afraid, I will help you. He's there to help us. We just have to focus on him. And all these other things that we fret about, we worry about, we realize they're not really important as long as it doesn't get to us. They can take everything, it can't let it break us. When we realize that, then we begin to put trust where it really matters. We're told there to remember the Lord in the days of your youth. The best time to begin building, the best time to begin building trust in the Lord is when we're children and young. But the second best time is today. Those who did not build it when they're little can build it today. Whether it be troubles in our family, whether it be troubles in our job, troubles in our marriage, troubles in wherever, even to troubles in our nation, trust God and move forward. Trust God. All those other things don't matter. And when you realize they don't matter, then you can focus on the strength to overcome those troubles. King David speaks from a certain degree of experience when he says, trust in the Lord with all thy heart. Remember, he's the guy that came up to Goliath, big old guy. All the army, the whole army of Israel was afraid. Saul had been king somewhere close to 25 years by that time. He was a well-established king. He had an army. And they're frightened and they're afraid. And King David, well, he had been anointed king by that time by Samuel, but at that point he was not actually recognized as king. His faith made him perhaps a little bit arrogant. He says to King David, okay, tell your people not be afraid, I'm here. Verse 32 of 1 Samuel 17, then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go out and fight this Philistine. If your army don't have faith, I have faith. If your army cannot stand against this Philistine, I will stand against the Philistine because I'm standing in the name of the Lord. He says, I come to you in the name of the Lord. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to you in the name of the Lord, the host, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. He tells Goliath, you're not just my enemy. You're the enemy of God. And we, in our nation today, when we see this host of evil coming upon us, seeking to destroy this nation, destroy our people, they're not just coming against us. They're not just our enemy. Sometimes we refer to them as our enemy. They're not just our enemy. They are the enemies of God. King David was able to stand up to Goliath because he trusted in God. We have to trust in God too. It's interesting that later on in his life, after he had been king, he committed a sin, and Gad, one of the prophets, told David, he said, listen, you committed this great sin. The Lord gives you three choices. You got three choices of judgment. You can have judgment A, judgment B, or judgment C. Which one do you want? It's interesting. Because King David knew it didn't matter what he chose. He wanted to trust God. And he told him, he said, and David said to Gad, the prophet, I am in great distress. Please let me fall into the hands of the Lord. His mercies are very great. But do not let me fall into the hands of man. He would rather have the judgments of God than the mercy of men. That's trust. That's real trust. There's an evil coming upon this nation. This evil is destroying everything that is good and holy and righteous. Whether it be on a large national level or our own homes and families. Its target is righteousness. Seeking to destroy everything that is good and holy and righteous. I can't see the future, but I know that we have to walk as a child in trust. We can't fall away from our faith. Paul says that in the last days there will be a great falling away. The enemy of our people are the enemies of God. And like Goliath, they have sworn, they have scorned, they have contempt for the Lord. Now, David's trust is what preserved him when he faced Goliath. And for those years when King Saul turned against David and hunting him down, trying to kill David, David still trusted the Lord. Never once in all, I think it was about 7 years in which King Saul was seeking to destroy and kill David. Yet David never once raised his hand against Saul. Not once. Not one time did he raise his army or a sword against Saul. He trusted in the Lord to deliver him. He referred to Saul as the Lord's anointed. This evil that is upon our nation that wants to destroy our lives, destroy our families, destroy our nation. If we want to face it, we have to have trust. There's only one way to get that trust, and that is get close to God. That's the only way. Develop a love, a humility, and a spirit of forgiveness that I talked about here a few weeks ago in a sermon. So I'm going to close with this passage out of James 4, verse 8. If you want to have that trust, you got to get to know him. You got to get to understand. In James 4, 8 says, come near to God, and God will come near to you. You sinners, clean sin out of your lives. You who are trying to follow God and the world at the same time, make your thinking pure. We come close to God and we search his ways and we humble ourselves and we walk with a spirit of humility and love for our people and a spirit of forgiveness for those who have wronged us. When we come close to him, we will develop the trust that is needed to overcome the evil that is coming upon our nation. We're going to close with the song, Trust and Obey. I don't know the page number. David, do you know that page number? And our piano player has... 390. I trust our piano player will return. 390. How many people trust our piano player will appear? You take that bet. Ah. See, we just had a trust. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Let's all stand. 390, you say, David?
390.
Okay. Let's sing. Usually people sing 1, 3, and 5 when they're just picking out songs, so let's do something different. Let's sing 1, 2, and 4, all right? All right. 1, 2, and 4, all right? Trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on the way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still. And with all, we will trust and obey.
When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Not a shadow can rise, not a cloud in the sky, for it's far away.
Father, we thank You for Your blessings, Your care, Your loving care for our people. Father, we know that we walk in a sinful world. We know that we walk with sinful lives. We know that none of us are righteous or even deserving of Your love.